Turning your Bibles to Isaiah 26:8. Normally we preach through books of the Bible and we're in the midst of Matthew's gospel, but we've been taking some topical sermons these days, and today is another topical sermon. Next week we're going to be thinking about the Word of God. The week after that we're going to be thinking about prayer, and then we'll be back in Matthew's gospel that third week in January. Thinking about song as we look how Jesus sang a hymn before he died. Today we're going to be thinking about one of God's names, Elohim. And looking at various scriptures to do this, God's name reveals his nature and character and his relationship to us. Sometimes churches do a study on the names of God. We're only going to be looking at one name primarily today. And you see in Isaiah 26:8, your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 5:11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. I was listening to a sermon on the way home yesterday by Kevin DeYoung, and he talked about application. And he said the sermon he was preaching on, the application was simply going to be that you might know Jesus better. Have you ever thought about that as an application? We're all often, well, tell me what to do. Give me something practical, Pastor. And he gave the illustration of a husband and a wife, or even an engaged couple or a dating couple, talking to one another, getting to know one another. And the point, the application, is they want to get to know each other. Can you imagine after spending 3 or 4 hours in conversation with your beloved, And then the husband, because he would probably say this, what's the point of all this? What's the application? Oh, don't say that, man. To know her. To know her. To be with her. There's no application. That is the application. To be in her presence. To know her. Beloved, when you come here, I want you to be the kind of people that sort of, you want to know God. You want to know His Word. You want to know Jesus. That is the application. And that's going to be the main application today. I'm not going to stop making applications or other practical ones, but I believe this is the most important application and practical application of every single sermon, because if you don't know Him, you won't do any of those practical things in the right way.
That's right.
And so let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we ask that you would help us to know you, that we would enjoy time in your presence. We would enjoy time just thinking about your word together, meditating on your name, Elohim, meditating on various scriptures, various aspects of your character, your nature, your goodness, your work on our behalf. And so be with us, God. Give us hearts to understand and ears to hear. And we ask, Lord, that we would be transformed by knowing you. And Lord, that these very scriptures would be true of us, that your name would be the desire of our soul. We ask, oh God, that we would put our trust in you, that we would know your name. We ask, oh Lord, that you would be our strong tower and we would run to you and your name and be safe. We ask, O Lord, that you would cause us to know you in such a way that we would cry out in ecstatic praise, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we ask, O God, that we would love your name, and be joyful in you. So please do that for us today. More so than ever before, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Elohim is one of the names of God, and we see that name in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first verse of the Bible. Elohim is God, the Creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's tons of applications you can make about this. God as your creator means He owns you. He owns you. You ever heard the dad get mad at the son and he said, "Son, I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Well, that has some kind of rhetorical effect, but it's not really true the way it's true for God. God did bring you into this world and God can take you out. He has the authority to do both. He is your creator and He owns you. And you who are redeemed, He owns you in two ways. He owns you by creation and He owns you by redemption. And you owe Him all honor and glory and obedience. God is the creator. Elohim, the name of God, is the name used in Genesis 1:1. Our God is God the Creator. Isaiah 45:18, God who formed the earth. Jonah 1:9, God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God spoke the world into existence from nothing and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. One of the things I want to do in this sermon, which might not surprise you, is I want to show you how God is the creator and how Jesus is all of these things as well. Jesus Christ is God the creator. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16-17, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Hebrews 1:1-3, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Beloved, Elohim is God the Creator, and Jesus Christ is Elohim come in the flesh. Second, Elohim is God the Sovereign One. The Sovereign One. Sovereign means king. It means He has authority. Elohim is God, the Sovereign One. One of my favorite verses, as you know, as I was reading through the Bible in a year, one season of my life, it was the sovereignty of God. And I highlighted everywhere I saw everything. That's all I was about that year, buddy. I want to see the sovereignty of God everywhere. And I want to see free will destroyed. As Romans 9 says, not by the will of man. John 1, not by the will of man. Not by the will of man. It don't get no clearer than that. But the sovereignty of God, He's in absolute control. Elohim is the God, the Sovereign One. And one of those verses that I came across in that year of reading in the Bible, focusing on God's sovereignty, was Isaiah 46:9-11. Isaiah 46:9-11, remember the former things of old, for I am Elohim. I am God, and there is no other. I am Elohim, I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end from the beginning. Beloved, did you know that God has declared the end of your life from the beginning?
Yes.
As Psalm 139 says, in his book, they all were written, the days fashioned for you, and as yet there were none of them. Every single thing that happens in your days has already been written down. God has written the play. He's written the manuscript, and you are living it out. And you make free choices as you do that. God ordains the free actions of man. Pastor Craig Bryan taught me. God ordains the free actions of man, declaring the end from the beginning. And sometimes they say, oh, you're just saying we're robots. Well, one thing, I don't care if I'm just a robot, if I'm God's robot. I just that illustration doesn't bother me. I'm God's robot, fine. That's fine with me. And yet we make free choices. The problem with that illustration is we make free choices that we are responsible for. God has declared the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll accomplish all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east and the man of my counsel from a far country. I've spoken and I will bring it to pass. I've purposed it and I will do it. God is the sovereign one. Isaiah 37, 16, God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Genesis 24, 3, the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. Psalm 57, 2, God most high. I mean, for an application, that's something to rest your pillow on in 2025, right? Isn't Spurgeon who said that? God's sovereignty is the pillow on which I rest my head. God is sovereign over 2025. He's sovereign over everything that's going to happen to you. What someone else said, I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. Beloved, God is sovereign. He was sovereign over everything that happened in 2024, and He's sovereign over everything that will happen in 2025, and He's good, and He's loving, and He's all-knowing and all-wise, and He loves you, and He cares about you, and He's working everything together for your good. Elohim is God, the sovereign one. And Jesus Christ is the sovereign one. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is the sovereign one. He stood and spoke to storms and wind and said, peace be still, and they obeyed Him. He commanded demons and they came out. He banished disease from Galilee. Everywhere He went, He healed. He's the sovereign one. He's sovereign over storms. He's sovereign over wind. He's sovereign over rain. He's sovereign over diseases. He's sovereign over death. He said, Talitha Kum. It's a great name, Talitha. If you need a daughter's name, it's a great name, Talitha. Little girl, arise. He raises the dead. He's the sovereign one. Matthew 28, He's given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ is the sovereign one. Revelation 1, 7 through 8, behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus. Yes. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He rules and reigns over all. You see in Revelation chapter 5, they're weeping because no one is worthy to open the scroll, but Jesus is found worthy. He is worthy because He was slain and has shed His blood for every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He's the sovereign God who saves. Jesus is Elohim come in the flesh. He's the sovereign one. Third, Elohim is God the judge. Elohim is God the judge. God will judge. This has application. This has application for how we live, knowing that God is judge, knowing that we will give an account to Him for everything we do and say and think. Knowing that God is judge has application. Psalm 58:11, God who judges in the earth. Isaiah 30:18, where God is called the God of justice, Elohim of justice. Isaiah 61:1-2, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. God is the judge. We see that in the book of Revelation, don't we? We see that God opens the seals and these are judgments on the world. Jesus has authority to open the scroll, and the scroll is opening these seals, and these seals are God's judgments on the earth because of sin. Beloved, God is judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. Jesus Christ is Elohim come in the flesh. John 5, 26 and 27, for as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Beloved, Jesus is the judge. And one of my favorite passages to read to you, some of you will be reading it this week in your Bible reading plan as you finish up Revelation. I missed yesterday. It might have been yesterday in McShane. Yesterday may have been Revelation 19. I have to catch up. Revelation 19, 6 through 16. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one riding on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's the return of Jesus. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. He's going to come and he's going to judge and he's going to make war. And friend, if you're here visiting this morning, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you're here because a friend invited you and you're here. The question for you is, do you know him? Do you know him as Savior, or do you know him only as judge? Because when he comes on that day to make war with fire in his eyes and a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, he's going to judge the wicked and send them to hell forever, where Jesus himself will punish the wicked forever and ever and ever. And the Bible makes it very clear that all of us are born in this state of wickedness. We're all born in sin. We're all born selfish and proud and arrogant and losing our temper and born into lust and born loving all kinds of other things more than God. We idolize money and fame and glory and sex and relationships, and we even idolize good things like children and family. We're idolaters by heart. We're sinners, the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know yourself to be a sinner? That was part of the prayer that I read from the Valley of Vision, that we hope we know this. Because knowing that you're a sinner is the first step to coming to realize you need a Savior. Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that you have offended a holy God, that you've not been as thankful as you should be, that when you complain, God should crush you like an ant? Anytime you complain about anything, God should just crush you like an ant. You have no right to complain about anything, ever. And I'm preaching to myself right now. What a sinner am I? I deserve to be crushed like an ant. I do. I deserve hell. That's all Joseph Randall deserves. He deserves hell. Do you get that? I want to camp here because the gospel won't be sweet to you if you don't get that. The degree to which you came here this morning, realizing you're a great sinner, is the degree that you will exult in the gospel. Do you know yourself to be a sinner? The Bible says we've all sinned against God, that we all deserve His judgments. And yet the good news of the gospel is God loves sinners. God has done something to save us. He's not left us to ourselves. Though we deserve to be crushed like ants, He's condescended and come to save the ants. And He got crushed. He got crushed like an ant on the cross. Jesus has come to save sinners. Jesus came and lived a perfectly holy life and never sinned in thought, word, and deed. Can you imagine that? Never losing your temper in a sinful way. Never, ever having one hint of lust toward someone, not your spouse. Jesus never did that. He was always perfect, always pristine. He's the holy, holy, holy one who lived out God's law perfectly. And then died and was crushed like that ant, crushed under the wrath of God, bore the hell that we deserve, and was buried. And on the third day He rose from the dead, such that all who repent and believe in Him shall be saved. Yeah. This is not something that you can work for. If you're reading the Bible in a year and you think that that's going to get you to heaven, that won't get you to heaven. Reading the Bible in a year, every year, for the next 20 years won't get you into heaven. Right. I was listening to John Piper's biography of George Mueller yesterday, and when he died, he'd read through the whole Bible 200 times. Wow. And prayed in millions of dollars for orphans. But he didn't do all that so he could earn heaven. He did all that because he was in love with Jesus. He said that the first and most important part of your day, before you do anything else, before you think about how to serve God or do anything for God or help orphans or pray in money or do this or that, is to get your soul happy in God by reading His Word. You can't earn heaven. You can't do anything to earn heaven. It's a free gift of God that you simply receive by faith alone in Christ alone. Friend, have you received that gift? Have you trusted in Jesus by faith alone and just fall on in the arms of Christ? Just fall back as the Shylin song says? Fall back into His arms. Trust in Christ. Have you done that? Or are you trying to work your way? People try to work their way with these resolutions, right, that they're going to make this week. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make these resolutions. And they think that sometimes they do that in thinking they can earn righteousness or earn holiness. You can't do that. Believe on Jesus. Trust in Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And when you trust Him by faith alone, He changes your heart. He causes you to be born again such that you have new desires. You begin to hate your old way of life. You begin to hate your sin and you begin to love the things of God and love righteousness and love the Word. You don't do the Bible reading plan primarily because the pastor's guilting you into doing it. You do it because you have this new desire like a baby that wants to suck that milk. Do you think a baby Do I have to drink that milk, Mom? No. No, the baby wants that milk. And the baby gets that milk. See, that's how the believer reads the Bible. Right? We want it. We desire it. Now, I'm going to admit, sometimes I'm not like that. I'm not. This old flesh, this old donkey needs to be kicked in the rear end. And so I have to pray, Lord, forgive me that I don't have, my heart right now does not delight in your word as thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Lord, forgive me right now that my heart does not find your word sweet like honey. Forgive me for that. That's a sin. Joseph is much more sinful than he thinks he is. Forgive me for these bad feelings about you, God. But Lord, by your grace, I'm going to do my duty. And I'm going to read, and I pray that as I read, Lord, the joy of the Word and the joy of you and knowing you would be given to me by the Holy Spirit. And so help me, God. Help me. But we have a changed heart, and so we think like that, and we make commitments to do those things, because not because we're earning salvation, but because we're new creatures in Christ. We have a new heart. And so Elohim is God the judge, and we want to flee to Him for salvation. Elohim is also God the Savior. Elohim is God the Savior. 2 Samuel 22, 2 through 3, He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my Elohim, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence." God is our Savior. Elohim is God the Savior. One author writes, "Elohim often emphasizes God's relationship to the human beings He has redeemed and called. In fact, some 100 such titles are found in the Old Testament, including those that link God with Israel. In these titles, God is represented as the Savior of His people." Think of Isaiah 43, verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you." Remember the great ways that Elohim saved His people. Think of the Exodus, where they were in bondage to slavery, and God sent these plagues down and crushed the Egyptian people, and then killed the firstborn who did not have the Passover lamb blood, and parted the Red Sea and brought His people out and saved them from bondage and slavery. This truth as God is Savior is echoed in the New Testament. In Luke 1, 46 through 47, Mary, in this great song of exaltation in what God has done in sending the Messiah, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And beloved, we know that Savior to be Jesus, right? Jesus is Elohim come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Luke 2:11, the angel to the shepherds said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Acts 5:30-31, "The Lord of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior." And so God is Savior. Elohim is Savior in the Old Testament, and Jesus is Savior in the New, and Jesus is Savior in the Old, and Elohim is Savior in the New. Jesus is Elohim come in the flesh. Elohim is God the Savior. Elohim is the God of relationships. One author writes, "There are also titles that convey a sense of God's intimacy with His own people." Think of Jeremiah 23, 23, "Elohim is a God near at hand." 2 Kings 19, 10, "God in whom you trust." Psalm 59, 17, "He is my God of mercy." Heidi reminded me of the missionary Samuel Morris. He was this young little boy who grew up in Africa. He was like your age, Bella. He's like your age. And he had an amazing experience where God delivered him and saved him from being enslaved and being beaten and killed. And he he got connected with this missionary lady, and he began to read the Word of God, and he began to talk to his father. And he would say, I need to talk to my father about this. And he was convinced that he would go to meet this man who would teach him about the Holy Spirit. But this man lived in New York City. And he's like, oh, I'll go there. And he didn't realize the vast ocean and how hard it would be. But he said, my father told me I would go. And God opened up a door for him to work on a ship and be able to get there to New York City and learn about the Holy Spirit from this man and grow in Christ. But he would always, the reason I'm bringing this up is he would always talk about his father as if he knew him. And I just love that. I need to talk to Father about that. You know, you might want to use that when someone comes and asks you a question or ask you advice or, you know, ask you, can you do this or that? I need to talk to Father about this. Do you know God that way? I need to talk to Father. Talk to your Father. God is the God of relationships. He's the God of transcendence. Yes, but He's the God of immanence and intimacy. Genesis 48:15. Jacob, Israel, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Think of Song of Solomon and this beautiful picture of the intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage. Yes, it's about that. And it's about the intimacy between God and His church, between Christ and His church. Theologians argue about that. Is it about a woman and a man and that marital love, or is it about Christ and the church? Both. 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 What God has joined together, let no man separate. God has this intimate relationship with us as our heavenly husband. Christ is our heavenly husband who cares for us and provides for us and protects us and loves us and sings over us in love. And we return that love to Him. Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you, and there's nothing on earth I desire besides you. Have you ever spoken that way to God? Have you ever spoken that way to God? Lord, I desire you. I pant for you. That was the call to worship text. My soul pants for you as the deer pants for water. My flesh longs for you. Do you know God that way? And beloved, Jesus Christ is the God of relationships. He is the God near at hand. He came down. All over the New Testament, we are told to put our faith in Christ. He died on that mercy tree so that we might have everlasting mercy and know God and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And He promises to provide all of our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Beloved, Elohim is the God of relationships. And Jesus Christ is Elohim come in the flesh. Elohim is the Trinitarian God. Elohim is the Trinitarian God. What we just read, the Athanasian Creed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Each person co-equal, co-eternal, truly God. And yet distinct persons. Elohim is the Trinitarian God. Elohim is in the plural form. Did you know that? It's in the plural form. Used with singular verbs. What do we make of this? Well, I think this Ligonier article is helpful. Orthodox Christianity alone answers the problem of the one and the many. In Genesis 1:26, the Hebrew plural noun Elohim is translated as God. The word can be rendered as gods, but the context demands otherwise. Scriptural monotheism, the use of singular verbs for the subject Elohim, and more all show that the Bible affirms the existence of only one God, even if one of His names is a plural. The biblical authors use the plural noun Elohim to point us to the fact that the Lord's character and attributes are multifaceted, that His being is rich indeed. In this way, Elohim serves as a plural of intensity to emphasize His creative authorship of the world's diversity. Elohim is also used as a plural of majesty to draw attention to God's oneness. He is the Most High God because everything ascribed to deity is found only and fully in Him. Moreover, the orderly creation reveals the order in Himself. This principle is seen most fully in the Trinity. Three distinct persons exist harmoniously within God's one essence. An orderly, diverse creation manifests His glorious unity and complexity. The word Elohim by itself does not teach the doctrine of the Trinity, but it was not written down haphazardly, for it hints at both the Lord's complexity and His unity. Elohim is the Trinitarian God, and beloved Jesus Christ is the second person of that Trinity, God the Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, Jesus Christ is Elohim come in the flesh. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim, a highway for our God. And who did John the Baptist come preparing a way for? Elohim, Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Beloved, Elohim is the God we pant after and desire. Brother Rob read Psalm 42, 1 and 2, and that word for God in the text there is Elohim. As the deer, a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Elohim is the name of God used in Psalm 63, 1 through 3. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have looked upon You in the sanctuary, beholding Your power and glory, because Your mercy is better than life. My lips will praise You. Elohim is the God we pant after and desire. This was revolutionary to me as well, to see that God commands my feelings. And this also highlights the supernatural aspect of our religion. You can just willpower through Christianity. Do your duty, do your sermons, preach, sing hymns. You can willpower. You can even willpower emotion. But that doesn't please God. What pleases God is true and deep and real heart affection and desire for Him. And you know what that's like. Children, you know what that's like when mom says, we're going to have a pizza party and we're going to have ice cream as much as you can eat. You know what that's like. There's this spontaneous joy that erupts from your heart and makes you want to dance. You know what it's like. On Christmas morning, when you get up and you see that thing you've wanted for all year and finally you have it, you know what it likes when that person you've been dating finally asks you to marry them. You know what it's like when you have wanted to be pregnant for so long and it's not happening. Finally, you get pregnant. You know what that's like, that kind of joy. Beloved, God deserves that kind of joy. And this shows us how bad we are, because you often don't have it. I often don't have it. And the way to answer that is not say, well, God just cares about obedience and duty. The problem is He commands you to feel this way about Him. He commands you to pant for Him, to delight in Him, to have joy in Him, to be amazed at Him. He commands that. That's part of your duty. And so much of my life is, Father, forgive me. Because I am a sinner. My heart is dead. My heart is cold. My heart is happy about chocolate and ice cream and pizza and dead towards You. My heart is happy about the Eagles and the Steelers and a day off and to sleep in and this and that and the other. And it's dead towards You. My heart's so alive to these things of the world and dead towards You. And that is treason to the living God. And so God changed my heart. I tell y'all, I often wonder if I'm saved. Lord, save me. Save me, God. Change this cold, dead heart. And give me desires for you. You're the God to pant after, to delight in. Oh God, change my heart. And I praise you that I have a Savior who saves me from all my coldness and deadness, who loves me in all my coldness and deadness, and reawakens that desire over and over. Praise God. Praise God for Jesus who saves me from my coldness and deadness. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the God we pant after and desire. Yes. Philippians 3, 7 through 8, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as scubalon, as dung, as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Beloved, Elohim is the God we pant after and desire, and Jesus is Elohim come in the flesh. And then finally, Elohim is the God of whom and to whom we sing. We sing. We sing. We sing. Psalm 40, verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our Elohim. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. He's put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Has God put a new song in your mouth? Has He put a new song in your mouth? Do you ever get alone and sing to God? Do you ever do that? Maybe that's something you can shoot for this year, is get alone and sing with God. Train yourself to have affection for God by getting a hymn book and getting alone and singing to Him and make the devil run. Elohim is the God who put for whom and of whom and to whom we sing. Psalm 147, 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our Elohim on the lyre. We sing to Him. We sing His praises. And beloved, Jesus Christ is the God of whom and to whom we sing. Revelation 5, 8 through 10. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Have You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. We're going to sing to the Lamb who was slain forever and ever and ever. Elohim is the God to whom and for whom we sing, and Jesus is Elohim come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is Elohim come for salvation, Creator and Sovereign or all of creation. Let me start that again. Jesus Christ is Elohim come for salvation, Creator and Sovereign over all of creation. He's Judge of the wicked who will crush in damnation. He's Savior and Lord who bled for each nation. He's God the Son in Trinity relation. We pant for Him now in pure adoration. He died on that cross, took all condemnation, and rose from the dead for our justification. We'll forever sing praise in loud jubilation, for He is our God, Elohim, our salvation. Beloved, Isaiah 26, 8 says, Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. Psalm 9, 10 says, Those who know Your name put their trust in You. Proverbs 18, 10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Psalm 8, 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Psalm 5, 11 says, Those who love Your name will be joyful in You. And so I want to end this sermon today by meditating with you on the names of Jesus. These names of Jesus were compiled by Clinton and Howard after he was challenged by a Muslim nobleman whose rosary included 99 names for Allah. Guess how many names he came up with for Jesus? Over 200. So just meditate with me on these names of your rock, your Savior, your Elohim, your King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ the righteous. He's Savior. He's Emmanuel. He's teacher. He's Rabboni. He's master. He's governor. He's lawgiver. He's forerunner. He's redeemer. He's Messiah, Shiloh, deliverer, mediator, intercessor, prince, and mighty to save. That's my King. He's surety of a better testament. He's the just one. He's the holy one. He's the holy and just. He's the holy and righteous one. He's the holy one of God. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the witness to the people. He's the leader and commander of the people. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's my King. I wonder if you know him today. He's Jesus. He's the young child. He's thy holy child. He's the Nazarene. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's Lord. He's Lord from heaven. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord of the holy prophets. He's Lord and Savior. He's my Lord and my God. He's the Holy One of God. That's my King. He's the first fruits. He's the first begotten. He's the elect of God. He's the branch of righteousness. He's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's King of Zion. He's King of the Jews. He's King of Israel. He's King of the saints. He's Prince of the kings of the earth. He's the King, eternal, immortal, invisible God, manifest in the flesh. That's my King. Do you know him? He's the righteous judge. He's the judge of Israel. He's the judge of all the earth. He's the desire of all the nations. He's the signal of the people. He's the captain of the Lord's army. He's the banner upon the high mountain. He's the messenger of the high covenant. He's the minister of the sanctuary. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our advocate. He's our peace. He's our ransom. He's our Passover. He's the great high priest. He's the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of peace. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. He's Jesus Christ. He's Lord and Christ. He's the Lord's Christ. He's Christ, the Christ of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. He's the man, Christ Jesus. He's a man approved by God. He's our elder brother. He's the firstborn among many brothers. He's my friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's the master. He's your master. He's your Lord and master. He's the good master. That's my King. He's the horn of salvation. He's the captain of salvation. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the glory as of the only begotten. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the express image of His person. He's the fullness of deity bodily. He's the bridegroom. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That's my King. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the true tree of life. He's the light of life. He's the word of life. He's the bread of life. He's the prince of life. He's the light, life eternal. He's the water of life. He's the living water. He's the living bread. He's the bread which came down from heaven. He's the true bread from heaven. He's the hidden manna. He's the door. He's the door of the sheep. He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He's the lamb without spot or blemish. He's the lamb who was slain. He's the vine. He's the true vine. He's the root of Jesse. He's the root and offspring of David. He's the prophet of Nazareth. He's the prophet mighty in word and indeed, he's the prophet of the highest. That's my King. He's the morning star. He's the day spring from on high. He's the heir of all things. He's the tried stone. He's the living stone. He's the sure foundation. He's the stone chosen of God and precious. He's the spiritual rock. He's the rock of ages. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's the great I am. He's the man of sorrows. He's the friend of tax collectors and sinners. He's the gift of God. He's the unspeakable gift. He's the God blessed forever. He's the light of the world. He's a quickening spirit. He's the first fruits of them that sleep. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the church. He's the head of every man. He's the true light who enlightens everyone who has come into the world. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and morning star. He's the power of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's the word of God. He's the image of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's God's elect. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the blessed and only potentate. He's God with us. He's God our Savior. He's the only wise God our Savior. He's the Lord who is, who was, and is to come. He's the Almighty. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. He's the Branch. He's the Son of Mary. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. He's the Son of the Blessed. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the Living God. He's God's dear Son. He's the Son of His love. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's God's beloved Son in whom He was, is, and forever will be well pleased. He has the name that is above every name. At His name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for Elohim, Yourself. Thank You for all that You are and all that Your name, this particular name, reveals about You. Father, we pray again for these prayers we began with. We ask, O God, that Your name would be the desire of our souls. We ask, O God, that we would know Your name and put our trust in You. We ask, O God, that we would run to Your strong tower name and know that we're safe, that we would be righteous people, both because we're trusting in Christ alone, and so we have the imputed righteousness of Christ by faith alone. And we ask, O God, that by Your Spirit we would be righteous, that we would be declared righteous by faith alone, but do righteousness and obey You. Father, we pray that You would move our hearts to exult in You and say, majestic is Your name in all the earth. God, we ask that You would cause us to love Your name and be joyful in You and live for You and be faithful, God, in this new year as we never have before, as we meditate upon Your name and all that You are for us in Jesus. And so do that for us, God, and answer our prayers beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.